Hello and welcome to another episode of Songcraft Breaking It Down. This week it was Ethan's choice of song. I will put a small apology in if I don't sound right. I have a cold. It sucks. We're going to go through it. Ethan, you chose the song The Past 6 Years by Def Havana. What made you choose this song?
The shuffle button on Spotify. But the reason it was on the playlist, I think, is more what we're asking. It's just a really... It's kind of hard to explain. It's not up, I'm not good enough to chart, because that's kind of the point of the song. It didn't really get very far. The group as a whole never really got very far, so it's, you may not recognise this group at first, and if you do, I'm sorry, because you're obviously not in a great place, because they're one of those bands that are kind of more for the depressed soul.
They're kind of... They've got that emo aspect to them.
They do, but at the same time, not in the emo sense.
Yeah.
But they're basically a bunch of lads who made a group and aren't the happiest people in the world. But the guitar work in this song is excellent. The lyrics are really heartfelt. All written about them. It's a personal song, which is always a win in my books as well. And yeah, I won't go into the details too much, because we'll go into the meaning later on in the episode, but it's about being kind of disappointed with your place in the world. And we'll go into that, like we said, a bit more later on. But when I first found the song, that was exactly where I was. It was just kind of a bit... Life was in a loop. You know that kind of phase you're like when you're in your teens and it's a bit...
You're a bit fed up
with where you are.
It's like Delamitri. Nothing ever happens.
Exactly that.
Yeah, nothing happens at all. And so Nico returns to the start of the song and we all carry on like before.
Something like that. But that's another song for another day. But yeah, this was a band I already liked and a song that kind of suited where I was at the time. And I've just liked the song ever since, especially the little guitar rhythm to it.
It's a lot lighter than their usual stuff. They're usually a little bit heavier, in my experience
with
Def Havana. Depends on the album. This one was much more heartfelt and... I think this is my favourite album, Fools and Worthless Liars. Just looking at the album cover, it kind of tells the story of the song. It's kind of...
Yeah, I would say that as well. It's kind of like, you know, you've come to the end of your life and you're just reflecting on, you know, what have I done? Mm-hmm. You know, and you're still like the same job, you're still stuck in the same loop. That's what I get from that album cover, really.
Yeah, I'm torn as a favourite between this one, Fools and Worthless Liars, of which the song I've chosen is the title track. Because the album title is mentioned in the song, in case you didn't get that. But it's between that and All These Countless Nights.
All These Countless Nights is a good album.
It is really good. And I think that's the only one I ever bought of these. I think the rest of them I got on Spotify. But just to complete the set, Old Souls was the first one I ever heard. That was the one I came across first.
Yeah.
Which was the biggest flop, I think, for the fans that they have. I don't think...
Yeah, they've done... If this is the band that I'm thinking of, which I'm pretty sure it is, they've done some more modern stuff that I don't really like.
I've seen that they've been live somewhere, and they've got an album out since I last looked into them called Rituals that happened in 2018.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've not looked into that or listened to that.
I think that's the album that I actually recognise, is the Rituals album. I don't know why, but I recognise that album cover for some reason. But I would like to just mention that I absolutely love their album covers, especially their single ones as well. There's something about them that's quite quite artsy, I'd say.
I can see what you mean, yeah.
I'm trying to think what it reminds me of, but it... Yeah, it's quite evocative, actually.
I think there's something about this song that gives me, like, an I Miss You Blink-182 feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like punk goes acoustic. That's what this kind of song... I would put it under that genre when...
Is a sort of acoustic punk band, like you say. Because he actually grew up with groups such as Young Guns, Yumi at Six, and Lower Than Atlantis, who are all, well, maybe not all, but punk, pop punk in their own way. I'd say probably Young Guns are slightly more into alt rock.
Yeah, I would
maybe
put them
hard,
as
maybe,
punk.
Maybe
would,
hard rock?
I would put them between kind of alt-rock and hard rock.
Yeah.
It depends on the song, I think, with Young Guns.
Mm-hmm. But there's guitars involved, either way.
Yeah. Which
that kind
which
of...
Which makes it half-decent, mm-hmm. usually.
If you can imagine the age range we're talking and guitars, you can probably kind of get a gauge for
yes.
what we're talking about.
So this song is... Actually, I think this is a really nicely written song. I like songs where they take a life scenario and put it into a song. Weezer are very good at doing this. Rivers Cuomo is very good at doing this. I think it takes a certain writing talent to do it. He has clearly done this very well in the past 6 years. And I mean the song, not the... Like,
no,
in the sense of the past 6 years, because they've not done very well in the past 6 years.
Which is what the song's about. Which,
exactly.
Which is why it's such a good song. The first album, if you listen to it, it's all very screamy, very...
It's quite abrasive.
It's an attempt to be
what
everyone
what
else is doing.
You would expect, almost. Like, when I saw them and their cover photo, that's what I would expect from them, is to be a heavy metal band. I wouldn't expect something like this to come out of them.
But it didn't really work for them. Whereas you had Lower Than Atlantis and Young Guns. And there's a reason I keep bringing those two up, because in this song, it mentions Mike and John.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I don't know if you've read into this at all, but Mike is Mike Deuce from mm-hmm. Lower Than Atlantis, and John is John
yeah.
Taylor, the guitarist from Young Guns,
yeah.
because they were all close friends growing up. And he describes the relationship he has with them now as both close friends, but also bitterly jealous of the success they've had. But I think the Favana, since they've started doing their own thing, have become a lot more successful band.
Yeah, their newer albums have become a lot more popular.
Yeah.
Just looking at Spotify, their new, you know, their top three songs are from their new album,
yeah.
or their 2017 album,
yeah.
sorry.
But what I like about them is that they did the depressive acoustic kind of depressive stuff before it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they got it out of the system. So
yeah.
it's there if you want it, but you know, if you actually want them to have some form of success, they've also got mm-hmm. that other stuff. And I wouldn't say that was selling out.
No, it was doing what was them.
Yeah, they changed
yeah.
their sound. That's different to selling out. They didn't change their sound to chart. They changed their sound because it suited them better. It's mm-hmm. different. Coldplay suited depressing music. They changed to happy to get in the charts.
Yeah.
That's silly.
But now they're going back to depressive again because they're sold out and they're just going where the tide takes them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry, Ed, but Coldplay did sell out.
Yeah.
But you look at people like Billie Eilish and what's her name now that I keep having a go at, bitterly hating.
Olivia Rodriguez.
Yeah, that one.
Rodrigo, I understand. Eilish, no.
Billie Eilish.
You, literally. On an episode of the podcast, said that you gave her some cred for
I
the
do.
Fact that she writes her own music.
She doesn't write her own music.
Her brother does, but...
Yes.
At least
she does her,
not
she
a
does her own
company.
Thing. She does her
yeah,
own
exactly.
thing. She's not a sellout. She's a bit like this, in that this is actually how she feels about it. Yeah, she's a
yeah.
tad annoying. But still, I can respect that she does that. The Rodriguez woman, I don't. The point I was going to make was that... These people doing it now are making it a success because it's what's wanted.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys, and I say they did it before it was cool, it's because they did it before it was cool. It wasn't what the charts wanted.
I understand wanted. What you're saying there.
Yeah. It was a form of self-expression, which anyone who knows me will say is the best type
yeah.
of music in my head. If you're writing from your heart, if you're writing from you, you're instant. Even if I don't like the sound of the music, instant credit for me. Like respect.
Hmm. I'm on your wavelength here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you often look into songs, you'll find that they were just like composed and written and thrown out. Whereas songs like these are, they have a meaning behind them. I think that's
mm-hmm.
what you're trying to say, is that this song has a meaning behind it. You know, it has a story to it, whereas the ones nowadays are just like, I'm
so
depressed. Whee! It's not like,
but,
you know, I went through a breakup or I'm not happy with my
success. Nowadays, how can you get any feeling from a song that's produced by a machine, pretty much written by a machine, the beat's made by a machine, the lyrics are made by a dozen writers who aren't singing the song, and the person who's singing it probably has no idea what real life Eds, because they're living some nut job fantasy world.
And Flight of the Conchords did it first.
Yeah.
00000001.
Yeah. But then
that's a song that's worth checking out, by the way.
If you don't know, that is.
What's it called? It's called Robots by Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Not the song we're discussing this evening, but still very much worth checking out because it's my kind of ridiculous funny. It makes no sense.
Do you know? See, when I read about this song, the one thing that came to my mind was "If It Means a Lot to You" by A Day to Remember.
The song that came to my mind was "Good Riddance, Time of Your Life" because you can sing the lyrics to "Good Riddance, Time of Your Life" to this song.
I'll explain why I went there. So,
You do that, and then I'm gonna take issue with Anthony's reasoning here.
He has said in an interview, this song is really an ode to the past 6 years of slogging away in a touring band and not really achieving as much as we'd have liked. Now, A Day to Remember are a popular band. If It Means a Lot to You has 166 million plays.
I did not realise they were that popular.
To date. Now, the interesting thing about If It Means a Lot to You is that this song was, I can't remember the lead singer's name, but he was basically singing to a girl that
breaks up with him halfway through the song.
Well, yeah, because he was basically saying, I can't come home until I feel the crowd are with me. The crowd are singing my name. Like, they're singing along with me. And obviously that results in the breakup. But I think it does. This falls at a time when A Day to Remember were struggling a little bit more on tour, and I think he was struggling a little bit more on tour because they were writing this new music, and they were writing music, but the crowd weren't really picking it up. They were kind of playing crowds where they weren't there to see them. They were there to see another band, but obviously this has changed a little bit. They're now quite a big band, but I think that's why it made me think of If It Means a Lot to You. You need some people like a crowd that's going to sing along with them. I think everyone does, to be honest. But it's not easy to get a crowd like that.
But that's not what this song is about. I want to make
not,
that
not necessarily. But like,
but yeah, I can get where you're coming
the
from.
The past 6 years, the kind of the opening bits where it's talking about them struggling on tour, that made me think of If It Means a Lot to You, that you will put every ounce of effort into making it, instead of, you know, what's his name from A Day to Remember gave up a personal relationship with his girlfriend in order to try and put out music that people were singing because it meant that much to him. That's what that says to me, is that he's putting in every ounce of effort and not entirely getting cash back for what he's putting in.
We shall readdress this in the future, but the song is fantastic. If you want to...
In that case, I'm going to butt in now and explain Anthony's issue with Good Riddance. Good Riddance is played with the four chords. This is not. That's my big issue. I need to complain.
I'm more talking about lyrically and tempo-wise. I'm not saying that they slot perfectly together. I'm just saying that if you try hard enough, you can sing the lyrics to it. They're both under 3 minutes as well, which I find a little bit interesting.
It's just not 3:42.
No, it's 2:53.
One fun fact about this was when I first heard this song, before I looked into them, I heard the... Because he's a bit of a dig at someone for only having one song about friends and not much else. I, first of all, thought that was a joke about the Rembrandts. This is like having a dig at them. Because no one knows any other song by the Rembrandts except I'll Be There For You from Friends.
Yes.
I'll be there for you.
So I originally took that as a dig at them. It's actually not. It's a dig at himself.
It's quite a good dig at the Rembrandts, if that.
It's a self-burn.
Those are rare.
I have it written on my notes here, hoping that someone would do that. but, yeah, the first album they have has a song on it called Friends Like These, which is their most listened to. It only has about a million listens. Was it a million or was it 100,000 listens on Spotify?
Only a million listens.
It is actually 1.5 million, so quite a few. But in real terms, it's not Don't Stop Believing by Journey, which is on something obscene like 3 billion or something ridiculous.
Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine is some. I'm pretty sure Guns N' Roses is Sweet Child of Mine. Well, it was the most listened to for a while.
Well, that's because anyone...
I think Shape of You is still the most listened to.
No.
Ed Sheeran was talking about starting a metal career. He'll lose a few followers that way, but gain quite a few more.
A billion.
2.9 billion listens.
For Shape of You.
Shape of You has. Yep. It's scratching 3 billion. The last time I looked at it, it was at 1.
That's severely disappointing.
I'm assuming that wasn't one listen.
I mean, 1 billion.
Really all it deserves.
I mean, Shape of You's good, but it's not that good.
Shape of You is not good. It's a disgrace to everything.
It's done better.
Being. It's a disgusting, disgusting song. But I don't know if that bit that where me and Anthony are sort of talking about how this song's played and the chords involved and it gets left in, because it wasn't very structured. It was just kind of blabbering on.
No idea. But, I'll see what I can do with it.
But I'll say it again just in case it doesn't get left in. And that is, it's an ode to this song, but it's not just the four chords. It uses some fancy variations, and there's very little strumming, if any. I can't remember. I think maybe there's a backing strumming bit, but the main riff and lead is all just single notes.
Yeah.
In a really nice little pattern, which goes to show that before they are too late or too early, even I'm not sure, but they have a far better instrumental ability than what's in the pop industry today.
Yeah.
But still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So if this song was released nowadays, I bet it would be huge.
Probably, yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing people are after.
So if you do like
Billie Eilish or
Olivia Rodriguez,
Eyeball Rodriguez, whatever her name is, then have a look at this group, because it's that style of music, but actually music, and actually, you know, with some degree of instrumental talent. Music.
Yes.
And yes, that sounds like a dig, but listen to this and you'll see what music is and then you'll understand where I'm coming from, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
Which, we are harsh on the charts, but that's because every musician is hard on the charts.
Yes.
It does.
It absolutely deserves that.
Johnny Marr said it best, easy money.
Yes, he did.
And Mark Knopfler said it well as well.
Money for nothing.
That little has got an ear... with the earring and the makeup. That's it. He's got his own jet airplane. He's a millionaire.
Before Ethan continues on the guitar, shall we move on to scores?
Yeah. I need to listen to the song again.
This is what happens when you sing tactical.
I've got it confused with another. Ethan, go first.
Do you want me to go first? Well,
Anthony has to listen to the song again.
I don't. I'm trying really hard not to base this on sentimentality and rate it as a song. But similarly to the song from last week, I kind of not grew up with this, but it became a pretty big feature in my life. So it kind of fits my not soppier side, because I don't really have a soppy side, but my less brick wall.
Oh, you make
side.
Me laugh, Ethan. It's like it's more of the breeze block, you know, there's some hollowness to it.
Yeah.
But less like a
brick wall. We'll go with that. That makes me sound like a builder, slightly more manly.
Yeah. So this is cinder block and this is brick wall.
The point being, this song was heavily involved when I was in school and when I wasn't loving life, put it that way. Because
very few
sometimes.
People do in school.
Exactly. As the school outcast, that was me, by definition. So,
and he was in Shetland, which means he's a double outcast.
Oh, definitely. I used to sound very English when I was younger. I maybe still do on this, I'm not sure, but...
No, you do not.
Okay. Well, that's changed. And when I'm at work, I'm worse. I become very local.
I find that as well.
But yeah, because I sounded English, I was a bit of a nerd. That's not changed. This has become accepted. And I'm religious. All things that do not get you high ratings in school, I was a bit of an outcast. So yes, there you go. That's my tragic backstory, everybody.
At least you go to Catholic school, then you're like the guy. You're the cool kid.
If I was in Catholic school, I would not be the guy. Can you imagine me? So you're doing this wrong anyways. The point I'm trying to get at is
that
it's really hard.
As much as it's accurate and true, won't be left in.
Sorry, Catholics. But I'm not sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, not so because, sorry.
Because this song does have that kind of sentimentality, it's a bit like having the soft spot, yeah, like Anthony keeps having. It does. That is going to affect the score, so I am going to give this 90. That's a really long, rambling way of me excusing my really high score for this. I'm giving it 90 because the guitar work is awesome. It's my favourite type of song, which comes from him. And it was one of the songs that was there during the rough part of school. So
fair enough.
No, it's getting enough. A 90. I don't owe me that from you. That's what the whole rambling thing was. I'm trying to defend that score.
I can see it now, because you're like, oh, you know, this helped me through school. Yeah, fair enough. I get that now. Like, a 90, I don't think this song deserves a 90 outright, but if it's got a little bit more kind of personal meaning to you, if it's got a little bit of a place in your heart, that's why you can give it a higher score.
If you have, as I would always say, a soft spot for it, it's excusable.
In its own right, this song would be getting maybe an 80, 85. It's still a really well-written song, in my opinion. But it's getting the boost for that exact reason. It's a group I liked. It's a song I loved, basically. That's a really sentimental thing that you could probably put on a t-shirt, but ultimately, yeah. 90. If you want that on a t-shirt, let us know, and we might go into selling things.
Yes. Anthony?
I'm on similar-ish wavelengths. You'll be glad to know it's not 75.
Is it above?
I'm going to give this song an 80, yes, because I agree. It's up there.
I do think that's where it fits.
The self-reflection in it is fantastic. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The digs at himself, he actually mentions things from his life. It's a very Bon Jovi in that regard. It's not just metaphors to hide what he's trying to mean. He's just singing about what's there in front of him.
It's kind metaphors. Of Weezer. It's Rivers Cuomo's style of writing.
Yeah.
Writing about your life and being able to just do it, not in a metaphorical way, not in a, like, using fancy writing styles. He just says it as it is.
But not in the same way that everyone started writing social distancing songs during lockdown.
No.
With that kind of forced sound, it feels natural. Yeah. Like, again, Bon Jovi's one or Luke Combs' one. I think we mentioned that in the Keep the Faith episode. Mm-hmm. He does it naturally, and he does it really well.
Yeah. I'm also giving this song an 80, because I think it's better than A Thousand Trees by Stereophonics, which I gave a 75, so it's got to be an 80, because it's definitely better than it. And I like this song more. I like Stereophonics, don't get me wrong, but this song's just better. So I've given it an 80, which gives it an average score of 83.33. Which puts it 2/3 behind Anaesthetized.
3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3.
How has that gone third? I thought we had a lot more songs up above 83.
No, we don't. Because
we've got 100, a 90, an 80, and an 80.
That goes to third place behind Anaesthetized by Porcupine Tree, and in front of Light My Love by Greta Van Fleet, which has now been pushed into fourth place. Rightly so.
Yeah, if it had been any other Greta Van Fleet song, so like
Broken Bells would have gone higher.
Heath Above would have gone higher.
I left you to choose the song, Ethan.
You did, but we both agreed.
Absolutely messed it up.
We both agreed we weren't allowed to choose something off the first two albums. It was too easy.
You could have chose Heat Above.
I could have done, but we'd already reviewed that on another thing that we review things on.
Yes, exactly.
As we had also done with Broken Bells. I think now, at the moment, I would have probably done either Safari Song or Highway Tune, because I'm absolutely loving those songs. And again, if the little guitar section gets left in to this episode, you'll have heard me and Anthony both playing both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I will mention just now that A Thousand Trees by Stereophonics went in at 9th. Would have been 8th, but 9th now, behind Silent Lucidity and ahead of Black Hole Sun.
Oh yeah, because we couldn't do that last week.
I'm happy with that.
Which is, I think it's fair. So obviously it's my song next week.
And this is always the interesting bit, because you never know what ride's going to come with. Is it going to be prog, Or is it going to be something good?
No, I'm just kidding.
Is it going to be wild?
I've been debating this, because obviously we're recording this episode technically a week late, because we didn't do another episode in Shetland like we were planning because of things happening.
Because we just sat and spoke.
Yeah,
we sat around to try and record it. I had everything set up and ready, and then none of us would shut up.
Yes, basically.
So I thought, okay, forget this, close the laptop down.
Yeah, so I've had an extra week to consider this, and in this week I've been getting very into Billy Talent.
Oh, yes!
Which is really going to disappoint both of you now, because I'm not doing Billy Talent.
Oh, come on! Yeah, you...
I thought you were going to... I thought I was right.
Why did you build me up, Buttercup, just to let me down?
Because...
You messed me around.
I really wanted to do Billy Talent, and I suspect I will probably do Billy Talent for my next one. But this one, I'm choosing The Spirit of Radio by Rush.
Oh! It got better!
Yes.
wasn't Billy Talent, it got
went
better.
Prog.
And yes,
and it was
prog, but... It's Rush.
It's Rush.
You can't
stick Rush. No. You can't fault Rush. No.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're all fools and worthless liars, young and unemployable.
Except we all have jobs.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
One of us is employed by themselves.
Yeah. Because. I have been employed before, but I decided I don't like working in a workplace anymore, so I thought, I'll go self-employed. And it's been the best decision I've ever made, because I can have holidays whenever I like.
There's a really cursed joke there about that's the point Anthony broke up. But moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Next week we're reviewing the song The Spirit of Radio by Rush. We'd like to thank you all for listening. If you have anything to say about this song and you have enjoyed our... insight on this song or insight on the charts, then please email us at songcraft.bid@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at song.craft.bid.
And also, quick side mention, don't forget to leave
something.
Any song recommendations that you have for us to review, because we've had a couple of them recently and we were thinking for the end of this season to do a few reviews of songs. Whether we do it in one episode or not, we don't know yet. We haven't discussed it properly.
Yes.
But we're planning on doing a review. It might end up being more if we get loads of people writing in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Get a few more people sending us songs, which is we're always open for. And even if it is like a terrible song, you know, we're still willing to at least give it a shot.
And just because
don't feel intimidated.
As much as we slag off the charts, we're not going to be brutal about your song choices. Everyone,
we respect that you like your music. So, and ultimately, I've discussed this before, you know, if that song means something to you, then that means it means something to me.
Yeah, and if
you can find a way to connect to that,
if it means something to you, tell us why. Tell us why it means something to you. Tell us why you're sending it in.
Although we might not necessarily read that out if it's too personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Disclaimer.
Well, maybe paraphrase.
I'll disclaim just now that if you do send in a song, we won't be too cursed, but I am going to be honest. If I don't like it, I'm going to say I don't like it. And we will score it fairly.
However, we will be balanced.
There's going to be an Olivia Rodriguez one in there. I already know it.
And it's going to get absolutely slammed.
If it's Driver's License, fair enough, because I liked that when it first came out. I thought that was quite a clever song until I realised she had apps. I think it is now, but the radio version was the one I heard.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. It was on the radio.
I don't really like any of hers, and I don't tend to listen to radio.
Well, I don't have a choice. I'm a builder. Radio 2 is the go-to.
Nope, I have my speaker, and that means I get to choose the music.
Fair enough. That rule does not carry up here. But yeah, send in your song selection, and if we can find enough material on it to discuss, or if we do it all in one episode, you may just hear it at the end of the season, which is not far away.
You may well do. We're planning 24 episodes this season, so
an average
this is always
TV
the
length.
Episode. This is always the episode 18, so another 6 to go. 18. Which means one more song choice from each of us. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, I would like to thank you all for listening and suffering through with us once again. So long, and thanks for all the fish again.